Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. We have hope of eternal life and our place in the kingdom of God, and as we live our life day by day, it is easy for us to be frustrated by what we see in the world around us. We see pain and suffering and know it doesn't have to be this way. We see hardship and heartache and know there is a better way of life. But we also know that the kingdom of God, which will usher in a time of no more pain and suffering, and a time without hardship and heartache, is not yet, and not of this world. It's a concept we are so aware of, and yet one that is so easy for us to forget. We see evil in the world around us, and we so desperately want the kingdom of God to come, and to come quickly. We have the benefit of understanding God's plan of salvation and know that what we seek is something that we, of and by ourselves as people on earth, cannot bring about for ourselves. When we hear people concerned with climate change and wanting to preserve the world in an unpolluted state for their children and grandchildren, what imagery does that bring to your mind? When I hear people talking about climate change and removing pollution from this planet of ours, I tend to think of God's creation. What today might be found in the most remote part of national parks. When we find ourselves lucky enough to visit these places, many of us are overwhelmed by the simplicity and beauty that is the creation. We have this hope for the kingdom of God that is easy for us to appreciate in God's creation, but unlike so many who have not been yet called, we appreciate and worship the Creator and not the creation. So many are removed from God. Some have not been called, and others have rejected God. And in their own way, through the creation, they cry out for the kingdom of God with their vision of the kingdom of God, very much limited to what could be described as a Garden of Eden. We know the kingdom of God is not of this world and awaits us all. When Jesus was on trial for his life before Pilate, he was asked about the title King of the Jews, and Jesus explained his kingdom was not of this world, because if the kingdom of God were of this world, his servants would have fought to save his life. John 18, verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. The idea that the kingdom of God is not of this world confuses so many who consider themselves to be Christian, that we must make sure we are not caught up in the confusion. We can look to the temptation of Jesus by Satan to better understand whose kingdom is the realm of the world in which we live. The temptation of Jesus is well known and not fully understood by too many who call themselves Christian. We know Jesus fasted and was tempted by Satan to turn rocks into bread. He was also tempted to throw himself off the top of the temple so that angels could protect him. Jesus was also offered all the kingdoms of the world by Satan if Jesus would only worship him. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus did not correct Satan when he was offered all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus didn't say something like the kingdoms of the world weren't Satan's to give. He didn't show how Satan was once again lying. Jesus simply stated that we are to only worship and serve God. The kingdom of God is not of this world, because the world is under the sway of Satan. And aside from a few formalities that we see between God and Satan in the book of Job, Satan is God's adversary and the enemy of us all. When God establishes his kingdom, it will be when Satan has been put away. Knowing that the kingdom of God is yet future, why do we see so many who call themselves Christians trying to impose religious ideals in the world today? It is almost like they are trying to forcibly bring about the kingdom of God, not through an act of God fulfilling prophecy, but through their own human will. We must live in this world, and God will keep us from evil. Let's see what Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest taken them out of the world, but that thou should keepest them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. We live in a world where evil abounds, and yet Jesus prayed that we be kept from the evil. That doesn't mean that we will not have our valley of the shadow of death moments in our life. What it does mean is that when evil abounds around us, we are protected from the impact of that evil. And with God, as it always does, as it fits within his plan of salvation, for mankind, and for us individually. While we live in this world with evil around us, we must be careful that we do not become like Eve, who saw the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and saw that it was good for fruit. We must be careful while we live in the world with evil around us, that we do not become like Lot's wife, who, having endured the evil of Sodom, when given an opportunity for escape from the evil, turned back to the evil. Eve and Adam were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and Lot's wife was turned to salt. We must live in this world, but we cannot love the world or the things in the world. Unlike the people we see in our life, we cannot be led by our physical existence, what we see and what we can accomplish at the human level. For each of us, we live our life with a spiritual focus that transcends life as people know it. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We do not live our lives trying to bring about the kingdom of God in this present evil world. We endure to the end, knowing this present evil world will be overcome, and then the kingdom of God will be established. While we await the return of Jesus Christ, we cannot live our lives in a bubble. But like the servants of Jesus who didn't fight then, we don't need to fight today. We can't live our lives in a bubble, and we won't fight today, and so what are we to do? We can look to the Bible for how we should be living our lives today. We will still hate that which is evil and align ourselves with that which is good, but good according to the biblical standard of good, not good as defined by this world. The love that we have is a genuine love and not a phony love that is a thin veneer to serve our own interests. We treat others of the faith with affection as if they were our siblings. Living in a world with people of the faith and people not of the faith, we have a natural affinity to people of the faith. What we do to the best of our ability so that we can serve God. And as we are able, we help and fellowship with others of the faith. When we are attacked for our faith, we bless and do not curse. We celebrate with others celebrating life, and we mourn with others mourning the loss of life. We don't give special favors to those who are able to repay us, and as much as is possible, we live peaceably with all people. And that means if somebody is attacking us for our faith, we bless and do not curse. Obviously, if somebody is seeking physical harm or death to our family or us, living peaceably as much as is possible will look completely different than living peaceably with your neighbor who you might see in the morning and evening. Never should we seek revenge, because vengeance belongs to God. When somebody acts like our enemy, we still need to cautiously treat them as a friend, because through our actions with other people, we are to overcome evil with good. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We do not fight other people, but we spiritually fight in another way. Like Paul advised Timothy, we are to fight the good fight of faith. Our fight is spiritual, not physical. If we are an employee, we need to do the best job possible at work so that our actions do not give reason for a non-believer to think less of the faith. Fighting the good fight of faith will lead us to act in our life in what we do. It will not lead us to perverse disputes regarding the faith. Instead of debating words about faith, we will seek to live a better life each and every day. Instead of focusing on physical blessings as a sign of godliness, we will find contentment with the blessings that God has given us. When some become money-focused, we will become focused on righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. 1 Timothy 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ unto the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Instead of physically fighting people, we fight with the power of prayer. When we fervently pray, the same Greek word is used for fervent and fight. Praying fervently is fighting with prayer, where we take the fight to God so that God can fight on our behalf. When Paul concluded his letter to the Colossians, he mentioned Epaphras by name as a servant of Christ who fervently labored in prayer. Colossians 4, verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Mark, sister's son, to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. We need to become like Paul, who fought the good fight of faith, where he knew a crown of righteousness was already laid up for him, and that he would receive that crown at the second coming of Jesus. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Instead of fighting others, we fight our own human nature. We strive for the mastery to be temperate in all things. We don't go to extremes. We do not meander all over the road. We stay focused on the destination of eternal life and the kingdom of God that awaits us at the end of the road of our human life. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. Jesus taught of the need to enter at the straight gate, explaining that while many will see that straight gate, only a few will be able to enter at that gate. We must fight to keep our spiritual course, and that fight is not a fight with other people, but a spiritual fight with ourselves as we overcome. This should tell us people run to extremes and are easily led astray, and we cannot be led astray. Luke 13, verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The calling that we have been given is not a passive calling. We are to do something with the calling we've been given. And that something we are to do involves a spiritual fight with ourselves as we overcome. Colossians 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that you were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've not heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the ministry which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. As we are fighting that spiritual fight within ourselves as we overcome, there are many other things we must do. First, it's clear we need to have the Holy Spirit and enough of the Holy Spirit for our own salvation. Instead of focusing on the faults we see in others and in this world in general, we need to be focused on that spiritual fight within ourselves as we overcome. And as we overcome, as we grow spiritually, the light of the Holy Spirit grows within us. If we neglect the gift of the Holy Spirit, its light and our hope of eternal life can be extinguished. Jesus compared the kingdom of God to 10 young women who took their oil-filled lamps to meet the groom. Today we might not use oil-filled lamps, but if you've ever needed a flashlight only to have the battery die, you can understand how critical the source of light is. Half of the women were foolish and didn't take enough oil to go the distance, and when they tried to get oil from the other young women, the others couldn't share because it could keep them from the meeting. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. From this, we can see we need to be spiritually focused on ourselves and what we overcome, not on others of the faith or this world. Others of the faith won't be able to save us. It's up to each of us to be spiritually focused on the fight we have with ourselves. Because we've been given the Holy Spirit, it's important that we exercise and grow the Holy Spirit. If we have been given the Holy Spirit and we do not grow spiritually, it does not show we valued the incredible gift we've been given. Jesus taught that those who spiritually grow will be spiritually rewarded, and those who do not grow will not be spiritually rewarded. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money, and after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. With the Holy Spirit we have been given, and the spiritual fight with ourselves as we overcome that is before us. We also cannot ignore others in need. If all we do is use the Holy Spirit for our own purposes and never act in service to others in need with the Holy Spirit, we have done nothing great spiritually, because the Holy Spirit should lead us beyond just ourselves. While we will be focused on fighting the spiritual fight with ourselves as we overcome, we will not ignore those in need as we are able to help them. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. If we might still be confused about fighting now to establish the kingdom of God, we only need to look to the book of Revelation, where at a future prophetic time, the establishment of the kingdom of God is proclaimed. First will come the ministry of the 2 witnesses, and these 2 servants of God and Jesus will be so hated by mankind that when they lay dead for 3.5 days in Jerusalem, people will celebrate their death much like they celebrate a birthday or Christmas. Revelation 11, verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, And the angels stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. It is after the resurrection of the two witnesses and a great earthquake in Jerusalem that the kingdom of God is proclaimed. Because we haven't had the two witnesses yet, we know that now is not yet the time of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God established on earth is a yet future occurrence. Verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in this temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. The prophet Daniel also wrote of the kingdom of God and the events leading up to the establishment of it. Let's read Daniel 7, verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were on his head, and of the others which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great thing, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possess the kingdom. Thus he said, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." We have this hope of eternal life and knowledge of the kingdom of God that sets us apart from so many others in this world, many of whom think of themselves as people of faith. Even though we don't seek a fight with others, we shouldn't be surprised when others seek a fight with us or even seek our death because they think they're helping God. John 16, verse 1. "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." Jesus was speaking of people who acknowledge God, but who are not of the faith. He wasn't talking about agnostics who deny God because they would have no desire to help God. Why might others who see themselves as trying to kill us think they are helping God? These are the type of people who today can be found attacking non-believers and others who they see as living a sinful lifestyle. And next week, we will see that these people are not clear on God's plan of salvation. These are the people who see today as the only day of salvation and do not understand that the loving God we serve has a plan of salvation that includes opportunity for eternal life, even for those who do not believe today. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.